Children, you may make your way to Children's Church if you would. The rest of you, would you take your Bible if you would and turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, will you please, is our text for today. We're normally making our way through the Scriptures, as you know. For you that are members of First Baptist Church, we're just going to do away with that so that this message can come out. I have a great friend sitting in the back, a great pastor friend, and he would know that there's sometimes a message just has to come out. And maybe it was scheduled for last week. That's okay. It's just a message that's got to be preached, and I want to preach that message this morning out of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. The most important person in my life is my wife. The second most important person in my life is my grandson. Yes, I skipped my kids. Yes, I did. I went straight to my grandson. That's right. Mostly because my grandson thinks I am a genius. You like that too? Grandparents, aren't they great? I think God gave grandparents, grandchildren, to make up for their grown children who think they're idiots. That's my opinion, all right? My grandson, it wasn't too long ago when he shared that with me, and I didn't have a tape recorder around, and I wish I would have, but I didn't. I asked him to repeat it several times, and he did, but we were doing something, and there was a problem or something, and I figured that out. It's just something simple. But my grandson looked at me and said, "Grandpa, you're a genius." And then this last time we got to spend a lot of time with him over the holidays, and I come to find out that there's this little kind of rift going between his family and my family with me and my wife when he comes and stays with us. This last time, we happened to be just going lots of different places, and my son, or my grandson, was asking me, "Grandpa, we're in the vehicle just traveling." He says, "How long is it going to take to get there?" And I said, "Well, it takes about 25 minutes. Well, he's kind of like me in the sense that he likes things to be exact. And so when we got there in 25 minutes, he thought that was pretty outstanding. You know, that I knew exactly how. And then the next place we went and said, "Well, how long does it take to get there?" And I told him, I know all these things mostly by experience, you understand. But to him, I just know how long it takes to get from here to here to here to here and so on. And he reminded me, "Grandpa, you just know everything, don't you? You're just a genius, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, grandson, I am." I said, would you tell Gippy that that's the case? Anyway, moving on with the story. I understand from staying with us that there was this conversation that was going on. They were trying to figure out how long it was going to take to get from their house to our house so that they could plan to be there when we were starting to have our get-together. And so they were kind of trying to figure out the time frame on that. And I understand my grandson said to them, "Why don't you call Grandpa, because he knows how long it is from here to there." Well, they didn't. And my son reminded me that he doesn't need my help in things. And if he would just quit telling my grandson that he's a perfect person, that would be fine. And my son said, "No, we could figure it out all by ourselves." I said, "No, you got to call Grandpa because he knows how far it is from here to there and how long it takes." My grandpa knows time perfectly. That's what he said. God is perfect at time. Not me. It is in my nature, you know, to know how many steps it is from here to my house. You know, I know that. I know how many steps it is from our Falls Creek cabin to the tabernacle. I know how long it takes to get from certain places, because that's in my nature. But you know, what I understand about God more than anything else is that God is perfect at timing. And that's the message I want to share with you today. I'll ask you to stand, if you would, in honor of the reading of God's Word. It's just one verse, but it has so much powerful information. Would you look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4? When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Let's pray together. Father, it is our prayer that You will speak Your Word into our life today. We don't have any business thinking our own thoughts and our own opinions, for Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We don't have any business expressing what we think. We want You to speak Your Word into our lives, and it's my prayer that You will take this minister and use his lips to speak the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 is one of the most inspirational verses in all of the Bible. And it relates to Christmas, and especially the days following Christmas and what we would sense as the New Year holiday. The King James Version reads, in the fullness of time. Another version reads, when the time was right, God sent His Son. Other translations say it better, I think. When the perfect time came, God sent His Son. All of these renderings tell us the very same thing. God is all about perfect time. Timing. God does things all the time right on time. And this simple phrase, when the fullness of time was come, has two profound meanings for us as we begin this new year. First, it has a profound prophetic meaning. A profound prophetic meaning. For 4,000 years, the God of this universe has told us many times over that the Messiah would come, that He was going to send His Son, the seed of the woman in Genesis chapter 3. And for 4,000 years, as we traverse the Old Testament, we discover God was saying the same thing over and over. Prophecy after prophecy had been built upon the foundation of His coming, and added new details, each prophecy adding new details to the timing of His coming. Each prophecy added another strong undergirding for faith in Jesus Christ. Did you know that there are over 2,500 prophecies in the Old Testament, and that 2,000 of them have already come true, and that 500 or so are yet to come true? But what's interesting about those 2,000 is that every one of them is accurate to the 100%. In other words, God has fulfilled all of those with great detail, not only in the coming of Jesus, but those times following. And the Bible tells us the perfect time came. For 4,000 years, God had been telling us that He was going to send His Son. And then the perfect time came. Most scholars believe that Jesus was born in 4 B.C. Somewhere in that neighborhood, 4 B.C. My question this morning that I want to just elaborate for just a second, if you will, to help us understand this prophetic meaning, is what made 4 B.C. the perfect time for Jesus to come? If God was going to send His Son at the very perfect time in history, what made 4 B.C. the perfect time for Jesus to come? It would take us forever to exhaust all of God's amazing facts. But may I point to just a few? For instance, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15 gives the prophecy about a prophet being raised up like Moses. I will raise up a prophet like Moses. What makes this really pertinent to our discussion is the timing of his appearance. When Moses came to on the stage of history, it came after the children of Israel had been in bondage in Egypt for 400 8 years. It just so happens that the time frame between the last discussion God had with His people in the Old Testament to the timing of the coming of Christ was exactly 400 years. 400 years of slavery, 400 years of bondage, 400 years of darkness. And then came the prophet. Another one is Psalm chapter 72, verse 10, the prophecy about the kings who come to worship and offer gifts. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the wise men. But what makes this so interesting is that astrology, that was how they were going to know when the time was right, because they saw his star in the east. But what we know about history is that astrology was at its height in Babylon at the time of Jesus' birth. Another one is Daniel chapter 7, verse 17 through 28, where Daniel prophesies about the four world kingdoms to precede the birth of the Messiah. Now listen, you and I have been through this before, but you need to understand that Daniel was writing under the inspiration of a God who knows the future. There isn't any way that Daniel could have ever known what kingdoms were going to come and what kingdoms were going to fall. Wouldn't have any idea. But God did. And God told Daniel all about the kingdoms that would come. There's the Babylonian kingdom, and then the Medo-Persian, then the Greeks, and then the Romans. It just so happens in 4 BC that Rome was in power, and it was the last greatest world power, fulfilling the prophecy that God had given to Daniel. The Romans were in power. And then there is Psalm 22, which makes it even more incredible. Psalm 22 is the prophecy about the method of execution for the Messiah. Go back and read, if you will, Psalm 22. It begins with those words that Jesus spoke from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus was simply pointing all of us back to the Old Testament to say, listen, this is forecast before. This is prophesied before. I told you this was going to happen. And in Psalm 22, there's a great description of how Jesus was going to come to death. But the only thing about that you need to understand is that the invention of crucifixion did not come until the Romans. Nobody had practiced the art of crucifixion as a means of execution until the Romans came into power. That's why 4 BC was the perfect time for Jesus to come. And there is so much more, but hopefully you get the picture. God was orchestrating world events to the exact time to send His Son. He was making an exclamation of profound significance. Listen, here's what God was saying from the portals of heaven. This is my beloved Son. Hear and believe in Him. There are so many other world leaders who have come on the stage in a culture of religious tolerance. We have to abide by the ideas that there are a lot of roads that lead to Rome. But listen, God's opinion, God's word is this. He said it at His baptism. This is my beloved Son. He said it on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. Believe in Him. Listen, I got to tell you, a person has to be absolutely foolish not to look at the facts and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, and I want to just say this for my own personal witness. I don't know about you, but I don't need proof to love God for what He's done for me. But God knows that we need it, especially when times get tough. We need to know that God is perfect in His timing. And that leads me to the second and most important meaning, I believe, of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. It not only has a profound prophetic meaning, but it has a profound personal meaning. Listen, God wants you and me to know that God is always, always, always a perfect time God. May I instruct you to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Hebrews and chapter 4. It's a great way for you to remember this. It is for me, at least, to connect these two together. Hebrews chapter 4 goes with Galatians chapter 4. And you'll look and find in Hebrews chapter 4, look, if you would, at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. The literal translation of time of need means the nick of time. And what he is saying for us is the same thing that Galatians chapter 4 was saying for us. The writer of Hebrews wanted those people to understand that God is perfect, always perfect at His timing in our life. The perfect time, the fullness of time. It's then that God helps us. There is no better example of this, I believe, than in the story that follows Christmas. God wants us to understand about His perfect timing. Not just in history. We can talk about all the prophecies we want, but He wants us to understand it on a very personal level. And so we have two linking stories. Would you take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2? I'll not apologize for having you look in the Scriptures. You might want to come and just sit and let me tell you, but you got to look at it if you would. So Luke chapter 2 is the text. The Word of God has power, and it will share with you the gospel if you'll let it. In Luke chapter 2, there's two linking stories that follow the story of Christmas. Anna and Simeon are the most wonderful examples of God's promises being fulfilled on a personal level. Look at Simeon first at verse 26. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You know what makes this story interesting? That Simeon had spent his time waiting for the Messiah. He was an old man. We know that he was an old man, and we know all the years that go with it, but we may not know his physical condition until we come to the next verse. If you look at verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, I realize that that has a lot of spiritual meaning as well, but it has a real physical meaning as well. That is that he was having to be helped into the temple. He was of such age that he could hardly make it. But he went time and time and time again to wait for the Messiah. Simeon is about to die. He had to be helped by the Spirit to get to the temple. And yet, at that time when maybe he was thinking, maybe it's not going to happen, 8 days after Christmas, Mary and Joseph show up with a baby boy. And Simeon looks into the face of God and says, "Now you can let your servant depart in peace, for I have seen the Messiah." Hasten on down to verse 37 and verse 38. We have the story of Anna the prophetess. She was a widow of about 84 years, we know that to be 84 years, who departed not from the temple but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise. The word likewise is important because it relates to the story of Simeon. And gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke to him of all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna most probably had the same promise because of the unfortunate circumstances of her life. If you read in verse 36, it's interesting, the story of her life captured in one verse. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She had been a widow a long, long, long time. And maybe God had given her, because of her unfortunate circumstances of life, maybe God had given her the same promise that he had given to Simeon, because she likewise gave thanks for seeing the Messiah. But the point is this: in Simeon's life, when it was just about at age, when his age was just about too much for him to handle, God came through. And Anna, all of her life, 84 years, she had been waiting for the Messiah, serving God day and night, going to the temple, serving God, doing what